welcome to the Home Team Podcast. Steve Carter here, and I'm excited because the NCAA tournament has been announced. All of the teams, and I'm excited because Sam Acho's here, Trey Burton is here. We're going to chop it up, but we're doing something a little bit different. This is our first actual real episode, and so we've partnered with Food for the Hungry, a local organization in Phoenix, and we're literally going to create a home team bracket challenge. All you need to do is to text home team, one word, home team to 484848, and a link will come. And just with $10, you can literally sign up for a bracket. You can choose who you think is going to win, Michigan, and you
Texas.
Can literally, oh, come on, Texas
come on, hands
bro.
Down.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But here's the thing, you can actually compete against all of the home team listeners. And I will tell you that there's going to be prizes. Before we get off the show, I'll tell you what those prizes are. But more importantly, with just $10 to kind of do this, your kind of gift and donation per bracket will actually help provide clean, safe, pure drinking water across the world to people who have never experienced clean, pure drinking water. So help us and decide who you think is going to win. Guys, are you excited about the NCAA tournament? I know I am.
I'm more surprised at how Michigan could just lose and still get the number one seed.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Guys, doesn't make any sense.
Guys, when you don't lose very many games during the season and you have strong, good losses to Ohio State by one, to Illinois, that was a tough game, to Michigan State, that's a bad loss. But I'll tell you what, we
more is more bad losses than good ones. If y'all
keep going,
if I could just, set the
Illinois,
scene.
Illinois is a one seed.
If I could just set
Ohio
the scene.
Ohio State's a two seed. That's
Steve,
a great loss.
Steve is sitting here with his Michigan jersey on. He got the backwards hat, got the little blue undershirt going on. He's super proud. And the Michigan Wolverines old school,
that's
like a, 1978.
That's a Juwan Howard hat for him. Do the cabbage patch for him.
Who's 41? Year. Who was 41?
Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice. That's when the last time we won a national championship, Trey.
Impressive, dude. Impressive. Yeah, I wasn't born. I know that for sure.
Watch your mouth. Now, Trey, like, let's just say for a second, do you get excited about, I know you're a football guy, tight end, blah, blah, blah. But, like, do you get excited about the tournament?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best times of the year, honestly. I also am even more excited when the Gators are in it. And they're competitive. So this year, we're not as competitive as Michigan, but I wish we could play Michigan. I wish we could play Texas, because I think we have a good shot against both of those teams. But regardless of all that, yeah, I do enjoy it. I think it's fun to fill out a bracket, especially for a good cause. So it should be good.
Yeah. Sam, what about you? You like doing this?
See, I haven't watched college basketball in a while, but when it comes to the Final Four, right, when it comes to this time of year, it's like I'm always looking for the upset. Rooting for the underdog. And so
like the Gators are the underdog.
Well, perfect. the thing is if Texas has not really been strong in the last few years. So like, it's hard for me to go in and root on my team when my team ain't really doing their thing. Now this year, Texas is in there and I think they're going to ball the number three seed. I think they're going to make it all the way, but I get excited when I watch like the underdog teams, like that's what gets me pumped up.
You know what's funny though, honestly, like no lie, March 1st or 2nd, I remember I went back this year and watched all of the, I think it was the most exciting buzzer beater of the history of March Madness. And dude, like if you end up watching those, it's amazing. Number one, the shots, but number two, yes. Like having fans in the stands, how much of a difference it makes and how much like more like grand, like it's a massive event, the massive time and like just everybody cheering and especially the upsets. And it's really, really cool. It's a special time for a lot of people.
Yeah, someone's whole future can be made. Yeah. I mean, you hit one jump shot at the buzzer and you have like free fish and chips in that city for like the rest of your life, you know? But I mean, you talk about underdogs. Just hear some of these teams. I mean, you got Eastern Washington, Grand Canyon University, Christian College in Phoenix, like UNC Greensboro, Abilene Christian, Iona. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Texas Southern, Mount St. Mary's. Drake from Canada is in it as well.
I like Iona
strong. Yeah,
dude, they're good, bro.
Cleveland State, Morehead State, Liberty, Drexel. I mean, Oral Roberts. I mean, Colgate, Winthrop. There's a Hartford. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of underdogs, which gets me so excited because when you're filling out a bracket, it's just anybody. Anybody upset any buddy. And I just get so fired up about it. Hey, when you guys were kids, was there a team? Was there a person in the tournament that you go back and you're like, oh man, that shot or that team, that swagger that, you know, the Fab Five had, like you just would go, man, I love that. It's like iconic tournament time.
For me, it was cool seeing me and Trey are shaking our heads right now because we don't.
He has to throw the Fab Five in there. Gotta do it, dude.
So like synonymous with swagger, bro. What
goodness
changed the game?
So me seeing Brad Stevens right when he was coaching, and like so like the way he coached his team, and then fast forward, it's like, oh man, NBA, and all of a sudden like Celtics start balling. Like for me, like it's stories like that that make me understand that it's not always about the biggest, strongest, fastest, tallest, most talented. Sometimes it's about a coach who believes in you and a coach who can bring out the best in you. And so that's one piece. The second piece was being in college when Kevin Durant was in there. He was one and done. And like, wow. I didn't know. People were like, man, there's this guy. We were freshmen. There's this guy, Kevin Durant. He's really, really good. And mind you, like I had games, I had practices. So I'd watch a game here or there, but I was like, yeah, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? I didn't know how good he was. But then to see people you either know close up or even from a little bit afar, to see them just take off. That's what gets me pumped about March Madness.
How'd y'all do that year when he was there?
So I'm pretty sure we lost in like the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? Really? Like we didn't, we either Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight. But I was thinking like, man, that's kind of when I started to understand, like it's more than just about one singular phenomenal player. Yeah. You either have to have like a cast of characters or a really, really good coach who has a really, really good defensive scheme. That's when I started to understand that. But I think we lost in the Elite Eight.
06-07 Texas. I mean, when KD came, what is he, 6'10", buck 84. You know what I mean? He was so lanky. He was so fun to watch. And Texas had some really good runs with TJ Ford. He was like my favorite point guard to watch. He was
DJ Augustine amazing. Was there too.
DJ Augustine, I mean, they were fantastic to watch. But you're right, Brad Stevens. I mean, I think he had the closest potential to be like this generation's Coach K. Like go to a school like Butler and actually create a culture. And, you know, if you remember, Gordon Hayward missed like a Damian Lillard past half court shot by like just an inch, and they would have upset Duke on that shot. But Brad Stevens is a genius of a mind when it comes to offense. You can see what he's doing with the Celtics. What about you, Trey? What teams have stood out to you or players?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased with the Gators. And I remember like when I was in like your prime years for March Madness, for me at least, were when I was a sophomore, junior, senior in high school. And during those years, that was when Florida was probably the best they've ever been, you know, in 06, 07, when they went one back to back with
Joe Kim Noah on that.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Al Horford.
Teddy DuPay.
Lee Humphrey and Corey Brewer. Like Corey all Brewer. These dudes. Yeah, bro. Really good players. Yeah. Headband Corey Brewer. Lee Humphrey shot the lights out of the gym. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, I ended up going to Florida a couple of years after that. So as you guys know, I mean, geez, your first couple of years in high school, you're locked in and you watch every single game you get a chance to. So those were by far my favorite moments of, you know, NCAA basketball tournament.
It's always fun to watch, though, how one player that maybe, you know, you haven't been able to see if you don't live in that part of the country, their games aren't really televised.
For sure.
And then all of a sudden this, you know, 6'1" lanky kid from Davidson starts balling out, and all of a sudden you're like, Steph who? Odell Curry's son, and with like the joy, and he looks like he's 12 and he's just killing, you know.
Bro,
and you
balling,
just
bro.
Yeah, and you watch LeBron start tweeting, you know, when you're watching the same game that LeBron's watching, you're like, oh, I'm
at the right place.
Need to be. Exactly. You know, so there's just been these players, Steph Marbury, AI, Allen Iverson, but guys who have literally like made a name for themselves, and also guys that you expected to produce. But unfortunately, when the pressure came, they just disappeared, you know, and they almost like live with that curse. And so, but there's nothing like tournament time, nothing like Steve Nash upsetting Arizona at Santa Clara. I mean, this is the best.
But has there ever been, and this is what I watch, and I don't know about you guys, but, and maybe it's because I play, you know, so you're playing professionally, you're watching. Have there ever been those guys where you watch them and they're dominant at the college level, but you're like, oh yeah, this is not going to translate. Like I've always watched, like, Indiana, the red team, Indiana. I don't remember this dude's name, but like he was dominant. And
oh, Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky.
Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky.
He's dude. He was killing dudes. He beat undefeated UK. He's on Phoenix Suns. But yeah, you're right.
It's like, I just wonder, like, how do you know what's going to translate and what won't? You see guys dunking over people in college. But then you see guys like super efficient, but then it doesn't always translate. So that's what I usually watch. I'm like, okay, man, this guy's really, really good. But I wonder if this is like the height of your, not necessarily professional, but like on TV playing career.
Well, I think it's different too in basketball. I mean, I sit there and I was looking at like Zion Williamson in high school. And like, bro, obviously unbelievable. One of the best athletes to ever come out of high school and they'll play in the league. But I mean, he's playing against high schoolers. So how do you really judge, you know, how good is he going to be in the NBA? Same with like Ja Morant, like two years ago when he was playing in college, like he was a good player, bro. Like really, really, really good player. But I don't know if anybody could really dictate or predict that this guy, you know, 3-4 years on a row is going to be, you know, I don't know if he's MVP caliber, but he's a phenomenal basketball player in the NBA. So no, I'm with you, Sam. I don't really know. I mean, some people have good eyes, bro. And they know that, you know, they trust what they see.
When it comes to the, you know, NBA, the best known scout GM has been Jerry West. I mean, he made the trade for Kobe, you know, and Kobe was just this high school player at Lower Merion in Philly. But I mean, like, having that eye to recognize what will translate to your system or your game in the NBA, rare. I mean, I think people thought Adam Morrison was going to be the next Larry Bird. And probably if he was playing, you know, from Gonzaga back in the day, a little mustache, like if he was playing maybe in the 80s, he might have done well. But and you guys probably felt this, like stepping into the league, it just got quicker. Everyone's a little bit longer. Everyone's a little bit stronger. And some stuff just doesn't actually translate in the league.
Same with like Jimmer Fredette. Where did he play?
Yes. But he's been balling.
BYU.
China? BYU, he was playing in China and he was like putting up numbers dude, recently.
Boy, he can shoot that thing, bro. Yes, he can shoot that ball now. Ooh.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. And like every time he got a chance, but in the league, you think, oh man, this guy's in the next Steve Kerr. You know what I mean? He's going to get a shot somewhere.
But what's interesting though is like you see a lot of these guys, and I just see this whether through social media or whatever, like, it seems like a lot of the players who go to the league, the NBA, they knew they were going to go at a young age, like 15, 16. They're at these camps with LeBron and with Steph. Yeah. And I've seen some of these videos where you've seen like some young superstars at the camps with the guys who are actually in the NBA. So it's almost like there's this pathway of like, oh, I know. It's like, why even go to college? Right. Okay. Or if I have to, right, let me do my one and done. But I know where I'm going. Like, that's what I've seen. And I kind of see that with some people talk about, like just being around the game. Like if you've played professionally and you have kids, okay, they're going to be more likely to play. Or let's say like you speak for a living and your kids are around you speak, or whatever it is that you do, when you have younger people around you watching you, they get a leg up. And so I just have noticed that recently, how it seemed like some guys just knew. Trey, was it like that for you in football? I know you were a multi-sport athlete, but was there a time where you just knew, like, I know I'm about to go to the NFL or somewhere?
I don't think NFL. I think, you know, I knew I had a chance to go to college my freshman year. So really quick story, wasn't able to play football my eighth grade year because I weighed too much. In Florida, Pop Warner, it's all about weight. So wasn't able to play eighth grade year. The Pop Warner teams tried to get me to lose like 20 pounds as a eighth grader. I'm like, bro, I don't have 20 pounds to lose. So I ended up.
How much did you weigh? Because I was a big kid too.
I was probably like 165, 175, somewhere in between that range as an eighth grader. And I know I walked in as a freshman at 185. And then as soon as I got to my freshman year, I started doing the off-season workouts, which are pretty big down here in Florida. You know, all the teams do it. But and I realized like from the get-go that I was, you know, faster. I wasn't stronger, but I was as strong as a lot of the senior guys. And they respected the heck out of me for like my work ethic. And so I knew, and I started on varsity my freshman year. And so I knew from that point on, like if I played my cards the right way, you know, and did what I needed to do, like I had a shot to play in college. And that's all I really wanted to do.
Steve, with you, was there a moment, cause obviously you're teaching, preaching, like not even on Sundays, but during the week you're doing conferences and you're leading and teaching people. Was there a time when you said, oh, I've got a gift and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
No, I mean, I think in The Last Dance, if you remember, Steve Kerr, when he talked about coming to Chicago, he kind of mentioned seeing John Paxson And almost like John Paxson, like, paved this way. And he is like, oh, I can do what Paxson can do. I can hit jump shots. I can do that. This guy paved a lane for me. And so I think, I don't know if I felt like I had this, like, oh, I can do this. I had some John Paxsons in my life who were like, you can follow me and you can do what I do. And I actually trusted them more than I actually believed in my own ability. And so I think I just got lucky seeing some guys who went before me and made space and kind of let me fail and let me try. So yeah. How about for you, Sam?
Yeah, for me, there was, like, I never thought I was going to play in college or the NFL or anything. And there's, like, a story about how I went to this football camp at USC, University of Southern California, back in 06 when they were, like, perennial powerhouse, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, just everybody, and got, for lack of better terms, discovered there. That was one of my first offers, but no one else had known. So, and I was going on this trip to Nigeria with my family, this medical missions trip. And so they literally called me in the airport to offer me. And I said no, because I was kind of nervous, scared. I didn't know. I was like, why are you? They wanted me to verbally commit right then and there. And it just felt weird. And I was like, let me, you know, give me like a second to make a decision. So I said no. I get on this plane with no service, no nothing. I'm gone for 2 weeks. I come back, and then all the schools had found out. And also my highlight tape got on Rivals, so everybody found out. So then that's when I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to play in college. But even then, it wasn't like I'm going to the NFL. I figured, okay, I got a free ride. It's pretty awesome. Let me get my education. All these people with their, you know, people talk about hoop dreams. With their NFL dreams, y'all do that. I'm gonna get these A's and B's. And so until straight up, like, for free.
And throw them V's in there, bro. Throw them
V's. I know. Like, because there were some V's out there. I ain't going to lie. Even for the Campbell Trophy Award winner, there were some V's. And so, but there became a moment where I had a mentor, a friend, a guy who actually was the team doctor for the Washington football team, one of the team doctors. And he was a friend of my dad's, and I've known him for years. He literally came up to me one day. I think we were playing. I forgot how we met. We were playing somewhere. Or maybe it was a Christmas bye week. I was at home and he was there, and he was like, dude, you have everything that it takes to make it to the NFL. And I'm like, why are you talking to me right now? Like, what are we talking about? Like, what is it? You know, he said, dude, you are just as big, fast, strong, smarter than all the guys that I see every single day. The only difference between you and every single one of them is that every single one of them knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were going to make it.
Well,
and you don't. He said, that's literally the only difference. And what I mean by knew, like, they would, like, they'd have their own water bottles, right? So, cause, like, okay, I need to hydrate, or I need to make sure whatever I'm drinking is different than what everyone else is drinking. I'm not doing all the, whether it's Gatorade or Sprites or Coke, they wouldn't go out like the other guys would go out. They'd work out different. They just knew. And he said, that's the one thing that's keeping you from reaching your dream. And so it was at that point where something inside of me, a flip was switched. Imagine like a light that's off. All of a sudden he had come and just turned it on. And no one else knew on the outside, but on the inside, there was this fire that was lit that was like, oh, I got it. This is what I'm going to do. It's going to happen. Yeah. And so I started to train differently. We do our normal workouts and practices and all those things. But then at the end of practice, I would go and get another lift in. And I wasn't just me. I saw other guys who went to the NFL. They did the same thing. So I'd get another lift in, right? Okay, after that, we do our study hall. Right? It'd be a weekend. Guys would go out and party and all those stuff. Like, I would go to the gym again. And I might still go out after that, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get my lift in. I would eat different. I wouldn't be eating all the junk that everyone else was eating. I would eat specifically saying, okay, what will get my body in the best shape possible? I changed my sleeping pattern. So literally at that point, that's when I knew. And there was no doubt. That was my junior year. That was my summer before my junior year in college. So it wasn't like this dream I've had since I was a kid.
Well, I mean, I think what you're getting at, though, is I think so important is you had a shift in mindset, you know, and how important mindset is to, you know, they talk about oftentimes speaking your dream into existence, you know, deciding and actually claiming who God made you to be and living into that and up to that. You know, I think it's fascinating is, you know, both of you have had to have that mindset to, you know, play in the league. You've had to have the mindset to not lose, whether it's in the playoffs, whether it's in, you know, in the SEC or the Big 12 in college, like one game, you're basically out of playoff contention. I'm fascinated because right now, these teams that got chosen, their coaches are having to talk to them. And I guarantee you, they're basically having to give them a mindset talk, I imagine. Almost trying to get them to go, hey, we can do this. We can make a run. We can almost like you, Sam, going, you having to believe it and orient and believe that. I mean, this is why teams dress up on game day, because they're not trying to look like me right now. They're trying to like almost live into their kind of professional, not some hobby or amateur. Like this is what you can do and who you can be. I'm curious about you. How much does mindset play into how you approach the game or what these players are dealing with going into the tournament?
Well, it's not even about what you can be or who you can be. It's like, no, this is who you are.
Yeah, that's good.
Go ahead, Trey, because you're saying the same thing.
No, yeah. Like you've been playing this whole entire season, bro. Like, you're not all of a sudden going to become a better shooter. You know, like, you're not all of a sudden going to become a better team. Like, you've got preparing for this entire moment the whole entire year. So, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, Sam, 100%.
Yeah, and I'm imagining some of, whether it's like the Super Bowl or some of the playoff games or even in college, for you, but even for me, there was never this thing of like, oh, I wonder if we're going to win.
Yeah.
Or I wonder, it's like, oh, let's really cross our fingers and hope this turns out well. Yeah. It was always like, oh, it's already done.
Yeah. We're the baddest team out there. We're the baddest. Bingo. No one can touch us at the end of the day. Like, you have so much swag already just making it to the tournament, especially like the conference champions, like especially the underdog conference champions, bro. Like, those are the most dangerous teams, dude, because they feel like they deserve to be there and they can match up with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And they're a bad team. They've done it. You know, they have a swag. They're good to go. And so they have nothing to lose at the end, like compared to like a Michigan who is highly ranked, bro. Like, I mean, I would love to do that. I would love to be an underdog. Just go shoot your shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Obviously, you want it to work and you think it will work, but you never know. But
you know, if I'm the coach at like any of those underdog schools, I'm giving the Draymond Green mentality. I'm like, hey, you could have been at Michigan. Oh, but they didn't recruit you.
They don't want you.
You're here at Iona. They don't want you.
They don't want you. You
know what,
bro?
I mean? Yeah. Nobody wanted you except us. This is us against the world. You know what I mean? It's just, it has the most beautiful like setup for some like Braveheart-esque
dream. And then you put the film on. That's what happens too. Like, coaches find ways to put, like, they'll hype you up. So they might put the other people's film, like good, bad, whatever. But then they'll put your highlight tape on.
Yeah.
Like, they'll put your team's highlight tape on the night before the game to show you and remind you how great you are.
Yeah, bro. the best story, bro. I'm thinking of this. I was playing with Philly, and one of our coaches was, we were playing the Dolphins that week. And one of our coaches was scouting the defensive end for the Dolphins and was like, we should be able to handle this guy. This isn't the guy we should worry about. This isn't, you know, Mario Williams. This isn't JPP. Like, we should be good. I remember like the second play of the game, Brent Celek runs to the sideline and he's like wide eyed, like he just saw a ghost. And he said, who the heck is this dude? He said, this might be the best player I ever played against in my entire life. But like, our coach all week, you know, showing this film of this guy getting beat up, you know, like a couple clips here and there. He looks like, a scrub out there. But bro, like, when push comes to shove, like, you can show all the film you want, you know, but like at the end of the day, like, in basketball, you still got to make your shots. You know, you can't turn the ball over, you know, those types of things.
But there is that mindset piece though, right? Cause the thing is, you watch the film, and like you said, they might cut and paste and not show you all the stuff.
Oh, they do. They do.
It's literally like, oh, this guy's trash. Like, this guy's trash. Like, this team. Oh, we got this. We have their number. And then you go out there. And I think the reason coaches do that, obviously, is to keep you confident. But even for me, I remember being in college, being a freshman or sophomore, Texas playing OU. And I was like, I just got there. And we had a guy named Brian Arakpo, 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 260. Looked like a Under Armour mannequin. Like, this dude was a beast. Like, and he had a super deep voice. I'm a beat. My name is Barner. I'm a beast. I'm a monster. I can't be beat. If y'all just go back and watch the commercial of him, like, lifting, like, benching 500 pounds, squatting 600, 700, 800, clean, like, with chains on, just an animal. Playing Oklahoma, and I ain't gonna lie, I was a little bit intimidated. I was a little bit scared because they had these offensive linemen guys like Trent Williams, who's like 6'7", 355, 360, and I'm like, he's really, really good. Well, play one, I see Rack just run up and just run him over with this thing called a long arm, right? Like, you run up like you're rushing upfield, then immediately you just go into him. If people are football fans, you've seen Khalil Mack do that tons of times. And then he came back, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, how'd you do that? And he was like, hey, man, they big and they soft. They just soft. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, they're soft. They're soft. So I had my like one or two reps during that game, right? I was a freshman. I wasn't playing a ton. And I go up and I'm going against Trent Williams. I'm like, yeah, in my mind, you're big. You're soft. You're big. You're soft. And I run up and I get stood up like a freaking, like I just like don't get anywhere.
And like a scarecrow.
And I trot back to the sideline. But I tried to tell myself like, okay, yeah, it was on me. It was on me. You have to believe that what you're going to do next is going to work. It's not that this opponent is that much bigger, faster, stronger, or better. I just did something wrong. And that's what I believed. I said, okay, I just, my technique wasn't right. My footwork wasn't right. That's what I believe. But I would never have got there if I didn't already have people who said, hey, they're big, but they're soft.
Yeah. It's funny. That's where the disappointment comes in right there, bro, because we already, like, you go into the season, 32 teams, talk about NFL, 32 teams, all 32 think they're going to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? All 32 teams think they're doing enough during the offseason. Shoot, look at college football, bro. Like, everybody does the same stuff. You know, the intensity might vary a little bit, but bro, everybody works out. You know, high school football, everybody does the same thing offseason. And that's kind of where the disappointment comes in, bro. Where like, when you truly believe wholeheartedly that I'm going to beat you, you know what I mean? And then it ends up not working. I might make a mistake or whatever, you know, whatever the scenario is, but then you end up losing. And that's kind of, you know, you see where people kind of get in a tough spot because they full-heartedly thought they were going to win.
When my junior year of high school, I was at the summer league, like AAU tournament for basketball. And I got paired up our team against Baron Davis's team. And, and Baron was like beast mode. I mean, he went to Crossroads High in California and the guy he was so quick, so strong, had ups like nobody's business. And I remember we go head to head and he puts up 38 on me and I got 8 on him. And I walked away. I mean, he's a 5-star recruit, best point guard in the country, goes to UCLA. But I was like, I got 8 points on Baron Davis. And everybody who I played at the next year, as a senior, I was like, oh, dude, if I got 8 on Baron, I'm going for 30 on you. Yeah, like it was the biggest like mental shift for me where I'm like, oh, he killed me, but I still got 8 on him, which they were 2 free throws and 2 open threes, but he wasn't even really guarding me, but it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Baron, but he was.
Davis. But he was. That's right. But he was, you know. So.
It's all about the stories we told to ourselves. I remember in high school, basketball. And I thought, like, for me, I thought basketball was going to be my thing. I had this, I had this feel for the court, all these things. Like, football was great, but basketball I loved. I stopped growing, so I'm not like 6'8 like a bunch of these guys. But I remember we played Episcopal School of Houston, and they had this, right? And it's like a, you know, private school, right? College prep, whatever. But they had this 6'10 transfer guy. And his name was like, it was like DeAndre Jordan.
Oh my goodness.
DeAndre Jordan as a sophomore. And mind you, I didn't know if he was good or bad. I just knew he was tall and I was not. And so like, I was the guy on our team. I played center. And so my job was to guard this DeAndre Jordan person. I said, okay, cool. And like, and mind you, like, I got to throw this part in there. Like, he had the height and the athleticism at that time, but he didn't have the skill set yet, right? He was still developing the skill. And so in that game, he might have put up like 10 or so, maybe 8. And I had like maybe my 4 little points that I got up on DeAndre Jordan. And he blocked about 7 of my shots. But I held my own, right? Well, fast forward the next year, we're going to play EHS again. I'm from Dallas. The school's in Houston. We're going to play them again. But he's gone. He had transferred to this like unbelievable basketball school, I think in Florida or somewhere, because he was about to go to the NBA. And so from then on, I was like, oh, bro, I shut down DeAndre Jordan. Like, who is you? Like, who are you? Nope, nothing else mattered. And I really believe those stories matter for our confidence, for our story. Like, those stories matter. It's like, oh, yeah. And not to, like, a claim to fame, but it's like Steve said. It's like, oh, dude, like, if I can put up 8 against Baron Davis, I could put up 50 against whoever you are.
Yeah.
I mean, and you called it. You said the story we tell ourselves. That's mindset. It's the story we tell ourselves. And that's what's so amazing about the NCAA tournament is you get a guy who's just lights out. It's the story he tells himself, like, I can hit any shot at any moment, you know? And that's so fun to see. Okay, hey, who do you think is going to win it all? Who right now are you like, this is who this is going to be in my bracket, who I'm going for. Who do you think?
Florida Gators, Baylor Bears, championship game. Go Gators.
All right.
You're saying it with a smirk on your face, like you know it's not true.
Go Gators.
Trey, I know you long enough. Hey, Trey.
Go Gators.
Trey. Why you got the smirk on? Like you know you're lying to yourself.
Go Gators, bro. Hey, it's what I'm telling myself. Go Gators.
Oh, here we go. So it's going to be Texas. Who are they playing? They're playing Baylor. Yeah, I mean, Texas is just the greatest state of all time. And so Texas, Baylor, Baylor's in Waco, Texas. So and Texas is winning. But if Baylor wins, I'm not even tripping because at least I got my Texas connect.
Dude, let's just call it right now. It's a Big Ten team is going to win this.
No, bro.
I mean,
no way.
I'm just going to tell you, Illinois is strong. They are really, really good. I don't want to have to face them again. Ohio State is strong. Michigan is strong. Iowa is strong. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you guys can talk about Texas all you want. I'm just saying the Big Ten has beaten – it's like SEC for football. Like, they have been beating each other up. And I think if you think about mindset is built on preparation, there's no conference that has been as prepared mentally, physically, emotionally than the Big Ten. And if I'm going to have to bet, I'm going with my guy, Juwan Howard. Come on.
Okay. Can I take mine back? I just looked. Florida and Baylor are in the same conference, or not conference, but region, right. I guess,
yep.
What you would call it. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to pull mine back. I'm going to say Florida, and I'm really excited to see Gonzaga actually play somebody. I feel like every time I've seen like a Gonzaga score, they played St. Mary's. Like, they've literally played St. Mary's six times this year. I want to see them actually play somebody. So Florida, Gonzaga, go Gators. National champs.
And I'll say that point guard at Gonzaga is the real deal. I mean, he is unbelievable. But it's going to be interesting from a mindset because Gonzaga has always been the underdog. Now they're the one seed. Yeah. Like, there's like the pressure of like you're not like darlings and Cinderellas anymore. You are one of the superpowers, you know. So, hey everyone, what's really cool is you can actually do a home team bracket. We're partnering with Food for the Hungry. Both Sam and Trey, they partner with International Justice Mission. I partner with Food for the Hungry. We just want to be people who kind of help our world understand what grace and peace and truth and love is all about. And so with $10, you can fill out a bracket, and all of that money is going to go specifically so that people who do not have clean, pure, regular drinking water will be able to have that. And you can do it for actual fun prize. And here's the thing, Food for the Hungry is not actually giving prizes because they can't. But we are. Yeah. And we are. So because we want to win something, because the three of us love competition. So if you win this bracket, you will have two tickets to one of the games from the Las Vegas Raiders. If they have
hold on. And we got to like really like make like so Steve, you've got season, you became a Las Vegas Raiders season ticket holder. You're from Cali.
Yep.
Right. So like LA Raiders, and they moved, you know, no team, right? Moved to Phoenix, right? So now it's like close. So you're actually going to give away whoever wins the bracket, two tickets to a Raiders game.
Yeah, two tickets to the best stadium, I think. I'm still a Bears fan,
it's a good stadium.
Yeah, it's beautiful, the Death Star. So two tickets to that. And then also in Arizona next spring, you'll have two tickets to spring training. We're also going to find a way for you to get something signed by Trey Burton and a signed copy of Sam Acho's new book. And then maybe I'll sign my ASO jersey from when I was 11 and I scored 47 goals. Yes. No. But seriously, all you have to do is you have to text home team one word to 484848. We'll send you a link, sign up. $10 for every bracket, but it goes to a great cause. And we're going to be talking about this over the next few weeks, and it's going to be fun to celebrate who is the winner. You can share this too on social media. Invite your friends, tell them to text home team to 484848. There's some amazing prizes, amazing opportunities, and it will be bragging rights. If you ever see Sam or Trey in the airport, you can say, "I beat you. Florida and Texas, I knew wasn't going to win, and I beat you." So
Steve, what happens when I win? Do I still get to go to the Death Star and get to go to spring training games?
You get to get spring training games. But you're probably going to be busy, and you probably won't unless in free agency you sign with some team that plays. Then
rain check. Can we do a rain check?
We'll do a rain check. Yeah, we'll make it for a concert or something. But that's, you're not going to win. I mean, your picks already.
Yeah, your big mistake was when you
chose two teams Florida. From the same bracket.
No, That's a mistake. But then the second big mistake was when you chose Florida over Baylor. Baylor's a team who you know is hands down better than Florida.
I have Florida winning.
And you know that Baylor was going to get there to the championship.
Can I be honest with you? Yes. All I care about is Michigan not winning the whole thing. As long as Michigan doesn't win the whole thing, bro, I'm good. I win. I personally win if Michigan doesn't win. So that's all I'm cool with it. And they're not winning, so I'm not worried about it.
All right. When Juwan Howard calls you in the middle of the night,
that's fine.
He will.
What's up his attitude, though? Juwan Howard, he's trying to fight people. What kind of example is that?
He might not make it, bro. He might not make it.
Yeah, who's their assistant coach?
Oh, let me just say this for a second. Would you want to play for a coach who had your back? I mean, a guy who had that much fire? I mean,
but was it for a player or was it for his own personal self? Because the coach told him not to talk to him like that, and he got offended by that. I'm a big fan. I mean, I'm not. Whatever, bro. No big deal.
If you're gonna bring this up, we gotta handle this with the right mindset. Here's the thing, Juwan Howard.
I'm glad someone from Michigan has the right mindset.
Facts.
All right. Here's the thing, Juwan Howard was going out on the court to say, "Hey, it wasn't the right call," and he walked out. Maryland coach said, "Hey, he's out of his box," and he was out of the coach's box. And Juwan Howard's like, "We're going to do this." And he's like, "Don't talk to me. You can't talk to me." Now, if you go back to game one when Maryland was playing, they had some issues. There was a little bit of some testiness, but I'll tell you, that's actually true. Maryland's a feisty team. Steve Francis days. I mean, they are a feisty team, and they got a feisty coach. But Juwan Howard's feisty too. And so it kind of escalated. I loved it. That's the guy I want to play for.
But the argument is he was not defending a player. He was fighting with the coach. It had nothing to do with any player on the court.
Okay,
so that we could take that theory out and throw it out the window. Like, yeah, do I want to play for a guy? All that. Like, whatever. Cool. But he was not doing that for another player. He was doing that for another coach. So will he be able to make it past the first or second round? Say he goes against Iona and Rick Pitino's there and talking trash. Like, is he going to be able to, you know, filter it out? That's my question.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Let's just table this conversation, Trey, because you're bringing up Iona too much. I'm a little worried. I like him.
Over Florida,
final
too.
Four.
Like final four. So right now, Trey's got Iona, Florida
Gonzaga,
yeah. And Michigan. That's fantastic. Yeah. I love your final four.
Thank you.
Okay, real quick, Drew Brees just announced his retirement. Kind of out of nowhere. I thought he was coming back and then just posted on Instagram each of his kids. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but
20 years.
I mean,
wow,
what a legend at Purdue watching him play. I mean, he was a guy that I never thought would have the success in the league because of all the so-called height, intangible size of his hands or whatever that all of the stuff does. But and then for him to like, I'm leaving San Diego, going to New Orleans, and who that guy is and what he's done for the city of New Orleans is pretty special.
I have so much respect for Drew Brees as a person. Like, there's a lot of really, really good quarterbacks. And I don't want to name them here because they're still playing and they're just jerks. Like, they're just jerks. They're talented. You know, they may be on rival teams of the Chicago Bears, but they're just like jerks. They're jerks. And then you play against a guy like Drew Brees and like, you look at, oh wow, this is what a dad's supposed to look like. And then you see him like at his highs, right? Winning Super Bowls and leading his team, loving guys well. Like, I worked out for the Saints last year. And so many of the guys were talking about how much they love him and love the culture of that team, the highs. Then you go to the lows. He made some statements a couple months ago about kneeling for the anthem and all these things. And he came back and said, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I'm still learning. And he actually was committed, not just one of those fake apologies that people give. He's like, hey, like, I didn't realize that my teammates, their dads fought in wars too. I'm still learning, right? So like his ego, I believe, is so small. He doesn't have a big ego. He's like, hey, I'm trying to learn, trying to figure it out. And probably a lot of that is from the Purdue days, right? Purdue wasn't necessarily a top school to go to, but the Purdue days, then you go to San Diego and then them kind of kicking him out of town and then go to New Orleans and him just shine. I just feel like I respect those guys a heck of a lot more. And even for me, like 2013, like he's always going to be a staple in my life. It was the third game of the season and I just sacked him. Right. I literally was like highlight, like I sacked Drew Brees. I was freaking out. I sacked Drew Brees. And in the Superdome, a few plays later, maybe the next quarter, I broke my leg. I was out for the season. So like that was one of those like life altering stories. But still, the highlight is anytime I tell that story, I say I sacked Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyways, I have so much respect for him. 20 years, like Trey said, a phenomenal dude, phenomenal man, phenomenal husband, but also a really, really good football player, too.
I mean, the dude had 80,358 passing yards. He's retiring as number one in the history of the NFL, and then 571 passing touchdowns, which is second in the NFL. And Steve's over here, second behind Tom
Brady. Gaga.
Brady
Gaga.
Yeah, there you go. And then 13-time Pro Bowler, which is, I mean, out of this world. I guess what, the 15 years he played in New Orleans, he won 13-time Pro Bowler. That's crazy. Just the stats are unbelievable.
Yeah, him and Phillip Rivers. I mean, two absolute legends. And Rivers was another guy too. Who, man, I loved his intensity, the way he would talk trash to defensive players and just get so fired up. But I mean, two great quarterbacks, and the NFL is going to deeply, deeply miss those guys. I will say this: Drew Brees went to Purdue, I think this past season or the season before, and he did a pregame. I'm going to post it on the home team social. It is by far one of my favorite speeches, and he like in 3 minutes goes after every position and he just fires them up. And I don't know, it's like Ray Lewis-esque, like someone breaking down a huddle and you just go, dude, that's a guy that you just hear him talking, you're like, I don't think that we can beat this team, but if he's our guy, we're gonna win this thing, you know. So it's really, really amazing. So hey, any final thoughts from you two?
A mindset piece. I mean, that was huge, you know, with the Drew Brees thing. You talked about it, the mindset, right? He walks into a team, says, this is what we're going to do. And you all remember seeing his, like, 1-2, you know, what the pregame thing he does. Like,
yeah,
I just love that. I just really respect that, especially when it works. Because sometimes people do that and it just kind of gets outplayed and kind of old. But he lives it. He walks it out. He believes it. So, respect.
I mean, and one of the things I'll never forget about Drew, and I don't remember the record he broke at the time, but like just how family oriented he is. And like he broke a record and they stopped the whole entire game and his family got to like go out there and like give him a hug. And like, I question how many other guys would do that. You know, how many other guys really care about not just that, but like their family. It's not just him winning that. It's his whole entire family, his kids, his wife, you know, and they've been by his side since day one. And so like from me as like a fellow husband, as a fellow father, like it's just somebody to look up to, like, man, I couldn't even dream about doing that, but I wish that if I ever did, you know, get any opportunity, you know, obviously not to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns or whatever it was, but just that my family would be able to be there with me, you know, at the same time. I thought that was really special.
You know, that's a great point, Trey. If you follow Drew Brees on Instagram, I mean, he's always showing like his three boys like trying to dunk on each other, and he just celebrates them. One of my favorite moments when they lost to the Buccaneers, and there was this amazing, like, it was like the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, and it was Brady and Brees, and they were talking and all of a sudden young little Brees comes up with a football and hands it to Tom. Yeah. And he's like, and he like runs a little post out and Brady throws it to him. The kid just dives in the end zone. And you know, like how many dads would be like, hey, I'm talking to Tom Brady right now.
Of course.
Stop it. And he's
easy to do that. Easy.
You know, yeah. And he just like welcomed him in and was like, hey, no. Yeah, totally. But it's just the fraternity of it was awesome.
But even his retirement video, it wasn't him. It was his children sitting there, you know, talking about how like not only is he, you know, retiring from football, but he gets to spend more time with us, you know, like, man, that's just, it's so pure in my opinion. It's just so pure. And like, what a role model, you know, he is for fathers and husbands. It's pretty cool.
Hey, for both of you, is there a person when, you know, obviously before maybe the last 5 years that when they retired, it like, man, that got you. Like you had to almost collect your thoughts because what they meant to you in the position or what they meant to you personally, just someone that you were like, man, that person is a big deal.
I don't know if I've been in the league long enough to really have guys. The first person that comes to mind, I mean, because I just played with them, was Philip Rivers, you know, because I think Philip has a couple more years. I mean, he had a phenomenal year this year in Indy. And so no one really thought that this was going to be his last game, you know, and to see a legend like that, you know, a guy who's also, you know, extremely family oriented, like family first, you know, type of dude. And such a good Christian guy, just sitting in Bible study, listening to the knowledge that he has and some of the things he implicates with his family and, you know, not to go into too much detail, you know, just about faith and just really cool to see him. But man, when I saw it on ESPN that he was retiring, that was the last thing I thought. I thought no question he could play easily two more years if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, as we're talking, I'm trying to scroll through my mind and I think similar to you, Trey, like, I don't know if I played long enough to like walk through a career with someone and then see them retire. Like, I think I hope I'd be that for some of my teammates. Yeah. Like, I hope that would be my story for some of the younger guys who I got a chance to pour into and spend time with.
If Larry Fitzgerald would have retired, would he have been that guy for you from your time in the Cardinals?
No, but only because I can't see him retiring.
Yeah.
Like, and we laugh, but like this dude, like he keeps his body in such great shape. He's humbled himself to say, you know what? I used to be like the star Z receiver, actually. You know what? I'm going to come in with when Bruce Arians came in and he went to like this Hines Ward role. So I'm going to move inside to this, be a slot receiver. So hypothetically speaking, less targets, but he ended up shining. So like even now there's talk of like, okay, will Fitz come back or will he retire? Like in my mind, he's still playing. Like what are we even talking about? Like he's not going to retire. He just wants to get some pieces around him, which J.J. Watt doesn't hurt, to try and go and either win a championship or create a legacy. And so like in my mind, I can't even think of what it would look like for Larry to retire. Now, when Adrian Wilson, he was a safety for the Cardinals. He was like a mentor to me, a big brother. I even write about him in my book. When he retired, that was big for me because we only had a year or two together. And like everything he did, I followed. From lifting weights to watching film. Like he taught me the whole playbook during a lockout. We were an NFL lockout. No one was supposed to come to the facilities. You're not supposed to really interact. And he had found a way to get the playbook from the coaches because he was a captain. And I'd been working out with him because one of my other friends who I met, Calais Campbell, he told me about this workout place, yet he didn't show up, which I'm still mad about. But I meet, we call him A-Dub, and like I'm literally what under his wing, and he invites me to his house, and he was still trying to figure it out too, right? He was a dad, but he has this super like hardcore image that he puts up in front of his teammates. But at home, he's singing like the little kid songs on Disney, you know,
Baby Shark.
Yes, like that was him. That was him. But then in the meeting room, hey, what's good, man? No, you know, it's like this dip, and I was like, I see something in you, and that was like our little secret. You know, he said, don't you ever dare tell anybody about this. And I didn't because I was scared. I thought, just don't hurt me. And he was that guy who I said, man, if I could make an impact on someone like he made an impact on me in 1 year, like the season hadn't even started. And he's like, hey, come over. I said, hey, man, I'd love to learn the plays, whatever. Come to my house. Be there at 7 o'clock. I was like, okay, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. And I showed up and like 7 o'clock, he's like, will there be? He's like, yeah, my wife will make dinner. I said, all right, great. It'll be great. I get there at like 6:30. Immediately, like we just go through every single page of like a 200 page like playbook, and like 7 o'clock comes and goes, 7:30. Now I'm kind of getting hungry. His wife's making this food, smells delicious. 8 o'clock, the food's out, like the food's getting cold. 9 o'clock, we're still watching, we're still going. I'm like, dude, I didn't dare to say, hey, I'm hungry, because I'm like, I need this time with you. And it got to a point too where people talk about rookie hazing and all these things. I wanted to carry his pads. I was like, dude, I'd love to, like, where's A-Dub so I can carry your helmet, so I can carry your pads as my way to say thank you for pouring into me. So he'd be that guy, Adrian Wilson, and I hope I can be that guy to some other guys who were under me when I played.
And
that's the legacy I think sometimes people forget. And we're talking about NFL, but really talking about what it means to be a father, or even people who are listening, a mom or a teacher or a preacher. Like, you have a legacy that you don't really understand. And we all think that this legacy is relegated to the few, right? The few, the proud, the Marine. Like, we think it's like for them, but it's really for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has an ability to be able to pour into someone else. And yes, it'll cost us something, right? It was like 3 hours and like the food was cold and he invited this dude into his house to see a different side of him. But when the season came, when training camp came, I was light years ahead of everyone else because of this one man. And I ended up, it was a hard time. I ended up getting the starting spot. Why? Because I knew the plays. How did I know the plays? Because A-Dub taught me. And so, man, if we could be that for other people, I think that's when we really start understanding what like being second is all about and giving your life away for someone is all about. One of my friends texted me this thing. He talked about the difference between like a giver and a taker, right? He talked about givers. I'm actually pulling it up right now, but he talked about like some people are takers, some people are givers, some people are matchers. And you know, takers, they put their own interests above the needs of others, right? Matchers protect themselves by seeking reciprocity. Many would like to be givers, but they feel too vulnerable. Whereas givers pay the most attention to what others need from them. And so it's like, what if I could be a giver as opposed to feeling this fear and be like, okay, I want to give, but let me just try and match. Or let me just take because I want to get all I can. No, man, let's give. And Steve, you're nodding your head because I think we spent some time together last week up in the mountains. I just was learning like, oh, wow, life is more than just about me and my stats. It's about me being an A-Dub to somebody else.
I love that, man. I love that. Well, both of you guys are A-Dubs to me. And I think the ways that you guys live, the fathers that you are, I love doing this with you. And hey, I'm expectant because I think that this is going to be an amazing season of the Home Team Pod. I love that we're kicking it off with just conversations about mindset and legacy, but also looking for ways where we can be a blessing to the rest of the world. And I'm wondering maybe if we could get 4,000 of you to fill out a bracket. Could be amazing the amount of help that we can give to the world. And all you need to do is just text Home Team, one word, to 484848. Then we'll send you a link. You can go fill out a bracket. One of the cool things about this is that we're actually going to have that number that from you. And across during the season, we'll be able to send you a little devotional, a little maybe word from Sam Acho, a little just kind of pick me up along the way. So sign up. It's going to be an amazing, amazing opportunity. And then feel free to share this episode, share kind of the number 484848 on your social media and tag us. Tag us on Twitter. It's just literally at Home Team Pod, or on Instagram at Home Team _Pod. We're excited. We're going to be back every Thursday starting next week. And so get ready. We are going to be consistent Thursday, Thursday, Thursday with the Home Team Pod to come to you to help you be an A-Dub to somebody else, because this podcast is about faith, family, culture, and sports. And Sam Acho, you got the last word.
Yeah. And if I could add one thing, because you talked about that 4,000 piece, like I think that'd be huge. And Steve, you're giving away the farm. I feel like tickets to the Raiders is phenomenal. And even some of the other things you talked about that people are getting from you specifically, right? Spring training is amazing. And I think one thing I'd love to do for whoever wins is obviously we're still figuring out if we're in person or not, but like a hangout. So maybe it's not in person because of the restrictions, but maybe it's like a 30-minute or hour long Zoom like convo with you or a friend of yours or family member, if you've got a kid, whatever, just to do something, just so you can get to know me better. I'd love to get to know you better, only for the winners. So if you have Florida in your number one championship, yeah, it's probably not.
And I'll meet you there as well. So it'll be me and Sam for sure. And you'll get all signed Florida gear, whatever you want from the Gators. I got you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, join us next week and fill out those brackets. Let's go help some people. And we'll see you next time. Grace and peace.